This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
I think I'm the best overall player in this draft, but my main focus isn't necessarily to be the best player in this draft. My goal is to be the best player in this game.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at SHURWAY.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Stop breaking news, dude.
The Fan.
Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dur Johnson in with you on this Monday afternoon.
How are we doing today?
I think we're doing all right.
We're surviving.
I think we're doing okay.
We're still breathing. We're doing a little bit better than the Beavers. I'll throw that out there right now.
Yeah, Oregon State down 2-0, bottom of the third. Washington with a runner on second, and still two out, so they have potential to put three runs here. In the third inning, Oregon State just not playing really good baseball. They lost against North Carolina, so this is an elimination game for them. And that looks like it's going to score another run. So the Huskies are now up 3-0 on Oregon State. They are the home team in this matchup. And not looking good right now for the Beavers. They could be 2-done in the tournament as the Vegas favorite to win the whole thing.
I mean, we did this segment on Friday of, is it national championship or bust for them? And I think most Oregon State fans were in agreement. Yeah, especially after last year, the historic season, things change at the end of the year, but now you make it back, everybody's playing. You were the favorite in Vegas to take home the title going into the tournament. This was set up for them perfectly. And, you know, I'm not a huge college baseball guy. I don't watch, but I do watch the College World Series when it comes around. Not knowing a ton about that Oregon State team, I'm just going to throw this out there. That did not look like Oregon State on Saturday. Like, I was blown away. I watched the first inning and a half, and I couldn't believe it. They're booting the ball over the place. Heimlich was hitting guys. Like, it was nuts. And I turned
it
off.
Did you only watch an inning and a half?
Yeah, I did, because that game ended up lasting like 6.5 hours. So I periodically checked back in to see if they had made any dents and, you know, check in on the score. But that was painful to watch on Saturday.
Yeah, they committed a lot of errors. Now they're just hitting Bryce Femmel all over. They just got another single. Washington has two runners on now with a guy at second. Femmel just not having his great stuff. Heimlich did not pitch well at all. He was pulled rather early, so not looking good right now as the coach is coming out to have a word with Femmel. Let's sidestep to something, and I am curious for the men out there, what did you get your dad or what did you get for Father's Day?
Oh, yeah. Did you get anything cool for Father's Day?
I got some Jordans.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't bought Jordans in a long time.
That's not a bad little gift for Father's Day.
He's got the heat on his feet. I made a comment today. I was like, ooh, set the building on fire with those shoes.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. I didn't even notice you were wearing new shoes today.
That's okay.
You know, I don't look. I don't, you know, that's just not a thing I try to identify when I look at people.
I'm a guy that wears them because I like them, not because I want other people to say something.
Right. You just kind of feel good.
In fact, I feel awkward if somebody does randomly, not you, Joe, because I know
say,
you.
Well, sorry for the compliments this morning,
yeah,
bud.
Joe, you big jerk.
But I was walking out of the gym today, and I was wearing them because I was heading to work, and somebody literally I've never seen stops and goes,
"Oh, when'd you get those?" And I was like,
"Are you gonna rob me?
What are you talking about right now?" He's like, "Your shoes." I was like, "I just got them a while ago.
Are you gonna beat me up and steal my shoes?" Question.
Could murder me actually for them. That's usually what they do for Jordan.
That happens. Look at the wife though, going all out. I know your kids. Unless your daughter's stolen that much money to save up for some Jordans,
she probably did. Yeah.
She went all out. Look at that.
She did. It was. I had a great day.
Did you go
best
big
Father's
for,
Day I've ever had yesterday?
Did you go big for Mother's Day for her? Because that's a pretty big gift, is it not? You guys aren't gift people.
Those shoes are at least $190
well,
retail.
Unless those are spendy
shoes. If
you're
paying retail, yeah.
Yeah, she would probably, you know, hook up some deals.
No, not doing retail.
Yeah, but still, that's a pretty sizable gift for a couple that doesn't do gifts. That's
right.
Up there.
No, that was pretty cool.
Right? You guys are anti-gift people.
We do not like doing gifts.
Right.
If you need something, just go get it.
Is she sending you a message? What happened here?
No, she had a good Mother's Day.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, she had a good Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I went and got her something she really needed.
Was it Jordan good, though?
You could see. It's a self-cooling, foam Tempur-Pedic pillow. So what that means is basically it's one of those, it molds to your head, so it's really firm.
Sure, sounds good.
But it stays cool, guaranteed for like 3 years.
I'll tell you what, that's not.
Cool.
Not a pair of Jordans.
The price tag would beg to differ.
I guarantee you that was the same explanation he had to the wife. No, it's really cool. See, it molds to your head and everything, and it's great. It's Tempur-Pedic.
I'm not going to let you jerks try to diminish the gift that she quite enjoyed.
I mean, there's pillows, and then there's Jordans.
Now, was it Tempur-Pedic, though, or was it some knockoff brand?
No. I paid a lot of money for
it. Okay, ponied up for the pillow. Okay.
Sure, is she listening right now? It's expensive, really expensive.
No, she never listens to the radio show.
She doesn't listen to the
show? Legitimately... Never listens to the radio show.
Oh, well, that's not a bad Father's Day for you.
Well, I golfed and then got home and they made brunch. So being drunk and getting home and eating brunch was perfect.
Yeah, nice little brunch.
Had some more drinks and it was nice. So a bunch of kids had a big water fight. I passed out on the couch for about an hour. I woke up and it was thunder and lightning out.
Boom.
And I had no idea what happened.
Nice little thunderstorm right when you wake up.
That was a big one.
Dude, that was actually fun. I took the dad and then the future brother-in-law and future father-in-law. The four of us went and played some golf yesterday. And
look at you being the team player.
Hey, you know, just getting everybody involved, bringing families together. No big deal. Somebody's got to do it. And yeah, we went and played golf and we had the same thing. So we teed off kind of middle of the afternoon. So it was a bit of a slower round. Hot yesterday too. Dear Lord, the humidity was bad in the afternoon.
The morning tee time was the best decision
I've
ever made.
That was the way to go because I was gassed walking 18 holes. And we got off the course. We literally went. We were playing over at Eastmoreland, and we sat down on the patio to eat. We were going to eat outside, and we looked up, and it was like, wait a minute. Are we in Kansas right now? Are we in Nebraska? What is happening? And like 5 minutes later, it felt like a tornado was hitting the golf course, and we had to go eat inside.
Doesn't it kind of feel like it's been that the last 3 or 4 days here where it's nice, but then there's this overcast that hangs on all day?
We kind of got it today, too. That's why it's so humid.
I know.
Which I don't mind sometimes. It's kind of fun to have some humidity every now and then. Granted, I don't work outside, so it's easy for me to say that.
Sure.
People that work outside probably despise comments like that.
Yes.
But it makes you feel like you're in a different climate for a couple of days.
It kind of does, yeah.
Because we usually get that kind of more dry heat in the summer. It's not quite as thick. I feel like I'm in North Carolina right now.
Well, I just, you know, I kept thinking, I didn't see one weather report that predicted we have a random thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm. Come on, weather guys.
It's a pretty good job those guys have to not be right.
Yeah.
To not be right as often as they are.
Step your game up. Let's go.
Seriously.
Sounds familiar.
I know, Joe.
Yeah, dude.
With your hot takes.
Yeah, Joe had a SportsCenter update saying the game's tied, nothing. Before his update was over, Washington's up 2-0. I didn't hear a score correction.
Here we go. Fake news over here.
Didn't hear a score correction.
Joe and Mike Leach. All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach online at pelicanbrewing.com.
There's a Spraying Line test already in today. It's about Firm, and it's about you, and it's about your wife, and I'm not going to read it over the air. I'm just going to let you connect the dots. Well played.
Well, unless there's medication involved, kind sir, you are incorrect.
Well played.
We got a good show today. There's a lot of topics to get to. sometimes you get a big event, you'll kind of bring it back because, you know, the crowd at 2 o'clock is not necessarily the crowd at 12.
Sure.
We may do that today or we may not. This may be like a... Here's this. Now let's go to the next thing. Here's that. Let's go to the next thing.
Move on from one segment to the next.
We will get to Phil Mickelson. We will get to the U.S. Open. I do want to discuss Mexico. They had the best weekend of anybody. Well, unless you're talking about cages. They caused an earthquake from a win against Germany.
That they did. And I'm also tired of being told that I need to root for Mexico.
Oh.
That's like all over the place now, and I'm getting kind of tired of that.
You don't want to root for our...
Look, I don't follow soccer. Isn't
our
that
North American brethren in the South?
Isn't that our biggest rival?
Define rival.
Can a soccer guy help me on this one? Isn't Mexico and USA like a heated rivalry?
I think just because of geographic reasons, but as far as talent goes, that's not a rivalry.
No, I'm not saying that. Obviously, yeah. I mean, U.S. sucks. They can't make the darn tournament, but...
Okay, let me challenge you. When was the last time a huge Mexico-USA soccer match occurred? Do you know?
I don't watch soccer, so...
Okay, but you would know of a big person. Match. You can't pinpoint
it. I mean, they play all the time in that CONCACAF thing, right?
Don't hear a word about it.
Yeah, it's a thing.
We'll get to our NFL whip around. I do want to talk about Cam Newton, as he was involved in the Monday Morning Quarterback article, and he was seen online yelling at a kid.
Yeah.
A kid got to him. It was quite funny, actually.
A little thin-skinned.
We'll give you a Kawhi Leonard update. Puma making a strong comeback. They said, you know what, Ricky Fowler, we're tired of watching you not win a major. We're going to go a different way and try to get somebody that can go win a championship.
Yeah, the Sprague reverse jinx is alive and well after that one.
I think it was just a straight jinx. I don't even think it was a reverse jinx. It was straight jinx. So we'll talk a little bit about Puma. Mike Leach really stepped in it over the weekend. Washington State had to release a statement. We will get to some baseball stuff. The Houston Astros are red hot, and the Seattle Mariners had a split against Boston. And we'll give you an Oregon State baseball update again a little later on in this game to let you know where they stand. So that's what's on tap for today's show, and it's brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theodore Johnson, and at Brandon Sprague. Coming up next, Phil Mickelson showed us Saturday why so many people have bad misconceptions of golf. You got Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's get to our Coors Light poll questions of the day with Dirt and Sprague. Make sure you go and get the Coors Light Rewards XP app. Put it on your phone. Any 12 and 18 packs that you go get, just scan it. You earn points and you get rewarded in one of the greatest ways a sports fan can, with great prizes. So the Coors Light XP app. What are our poll questions today at Dirt and Sprague?
You know, I struggled to come up with a lot today, but I thought I narrowed it down to two pretty decent poll questions. The first one, this is something we may or may not talk about today, but I just wanted to ask, what politician would you be most embarrassed to lose a one-on-one basketball game to?
George Washington.
So it's hard to come up with like four options, and I tried to make sure it was left and right. You can't just do all one side. So if you don't know, Jimmy Kimmel played Ted Cruz in a game of basketball, and he lost to him.
What was that called? The Blobfish Tournament?
I think he called him, he said he looked like a blobfish or something, and Ted Cruz beat him like 11-9. And I was like, that's kind of embarrassing to lose a one-on-one game to Ted Cruz. So I thought, what politicians are up there? So your options are Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, or Joe Biden are the four that you can vote on. So far, Bernie Sanders leading the way.
I voted Bernie.
You voted Bernie, huh?
Yeah.
You know Bernie puts up shots, though.
I was going to say, Bernie, he's the type of guy that just camps out around the baseline three, or on the baseline, or on the wing.
He's
at
like
the three,
silky and just, smooth from 8 feet.
Yeah, just has the shot down, and you're like, what is that?
That
guy
was the thing.
Doing?
I remember during the primary season, there were videos that came out. That's what he would do. Like, he did the same, like, Obama tradition where he had to put up shots before every election result came in.
If I played Bernie Sanders and he even got a shot off towards the hoop, I would be embarrassed.
You realize Donald Trump's 72?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not telling you Trump's way above him in that regard, but I voted Sanders here.
I thought that'd be a fun one.
I don't know. Trump's got those shin splints, though. That might be tough.
Yeah.
Well, ask yourself
that should be an easy win for you.
You go to an open gym, which guy leaves you more embarrassed when he scores on you in a pickup game? A guy that looks just like Bernie Sanders or a guy in the low post like Donald Trump? Trump's like, what, 6 foot? Is he 6'2"?
I don't know how big he is.
He's not a small guy.
Right.
He's got a big waist, though. He can throw those hips around.
But he could be, you know, older-ish dad that backs you down. uses his caboose. Bernie, if Bernie's doing anything, I'm looking around going, damn, just sub me out now.
Maybe he's got a good hook shot. You never know. I'm also surprised Ted Cruz only at 6% here. Maybe it's because he just beat Jimmy Kimmel. I would think more people would vote for Ted Cruz.
He's the younger one, so of the group, it's probably like, okay.
Yeah, so I thought that'd be fun. Go vote on that one. And then the other one is where we'll start today. Do you have a problem with Phil Mickelson putting his ball while it was still moving? No, calm down, or yes, he should have been disqualified. 78% of people so far saying, calm down, Francis.
Okay. So there's our Coors Light poll questions of the day, and that's where we're going to start is with Phil Mickelson, who, if you missed this, on the 13th hole on Saturday was hitting a bogey putt. And he hits the putt, rolls right past the hole, as did everybody else's putt on that day. And he kind of walks towards where his ball is going to eventually stop. And then he randomly just starts jogging towards the ball.
Nice smooth jog on the green.
He puts the putter down. The ball is still rolling. And as it's still rolling, he then hits it again. It rolls towards the hole. It goes just on the lip of the cup, doesn't go in, and rolls past. And everybody had to have, and when they seen this live or you seen the video, had to have just been like, was that a glitch? What just happened?
What's going on here?
I've never seen a pro athlete do that, but he did do it. It was a two-stroke penalty. He didn't finish very well at all at the U.S. Open, although he did make the cut.
No.
And this, in my opinion, has now sent the golfing world into a frenzy. And this is why people have this bad misconception of the sport of golf, is the reaction you're seeing from the Phil Mickelson, what the hell is he doing, putt while it's still moving, shot.
The reactions from a lot of people have been bad. With a lot of sports opinions and topics that get people fired up, I usually tend to take the approach, the truth is somewhere in the middle. And that's how I feel about what Phil Mickelson did this weekend. I, like you, was shocked when it happened. I didn't see it live, and I had a group chat that, like, blew up. I was outside doing yard work, and I'm like, what is happening? Everybody's, did you see Phil? Did you see Phil? Did you see? I'm like, what is going on? So I had to run inside just to try and see what happened. And I think we're shocked because you don't see it. It has happened before. Phil Mickelson's not the first guy to do this, but it's not something that happens on a yearly basis, especially at major tournaments.
I couldn't tell you for $1 million
sure.
Who it was.
I think most golf people, and there's probably one or two examples from if you know far enough back of this happening before. But to me, the truth is somewhere in the middle. Like, if you have a stick so far up your rear end that you can't just kind of chuckle at this and say, wow, that was pretty crazy, and move on, I think you need to look in the mirror. But I also don't think I think you oversimplify it if you just say, that's funny. That's kind of what I do when I golf. We've all been there before, right? Like, Phil Mickelson should not have done that. That's something that, especially in a major championship, you shouldn't have the ball rolling on the green and then chase after it and put it back to the hole. That's not an ideal outcome on a hole, but I'm not going to get my panties so far in a bunch I'm going to lose my mind about it.
Well, here's Brendel Chamblee, who is not a guy that's afraid of giving his opinion on players and what he thinks and representations of the game of golf. This was his thought on what Phil did.
There'll be kids trying to go do this. They'll call it a Mickelson. This will catch on. You know, he has that kind of influence. There's no video of Arnold Palmer or Bobby Jones or Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus, Nancy. There's no video of any great player ever doing this. And then Phil thought he was clever. He was trying to say, I'm smarter than everybody else. And if you thought this without a lie, you need to toughen up, you know, with that tango smile of his. So it was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
That tango smile of his. Here's Andy North. He's a pretty reserved guy. Doesn't carry a lot of emotion. Andy North on what Phil did.
It wasn't funny. It was disappointing for the millions of people out there that enjoy this game that watch that. I would think that they're disappointed. And
why?
Well, this is one of the guys who's a legend in our game. And if that's how he wants to run out his career, I don't think he would have done that at the Masters, where he's won 3 times.
Why not?
Well, because he wouldn't do that there. I think he has enough respect for them. I think that was crazy. And this is one of the greatest short game players in the world. If that ball rolls off the green, you don't think he's got some kind of chance to maybe get it back up and in? Disappointed.
Disappointed. No, I'm not even mad. I'm disappointed.
Well, here's Phil's explanation of why the hell did he do that?
I know what the rules. It's two-shot penalty hitting a moving ball. The ball was going to go off in a bad spot. I didn't feel like going continuing my display, and I took gladly take the two-shot penalty and move on. I don't mean it disrespectful. If you're taking it that way, that's not on me. I'm sorry that you're taking it that way. It's certainly not meant that way, but sometimes in these situations, it's just easier to take the two shots and move on. I've wanted to do that many times. I should have done it a couple of times at Augusta on 15 when the ball was years ago would go off into the hazard. That would have saved me a shot or two back then. But look, I just wanted to move on to the next hole and finish that one up. So, you know, give me the two. I'll gladly take that the two-shot penalty and go to the next hole.
That's the part of it, though, that...
Oh, he's defending it. I mean...
Well, no, it's not even that. Like, first, I'm not buying it, and I don't think he shouldn't have said that. First, I don't think in that moment... So you hit that putt.
So why does he do it then if he doesn't
Because
mean
he was
to do
fed
it.
Up and he was pissed at the golf course and he didn't want to go all the way back down the hill behind the bunker where he already had to chip up from. It was 100% a pure reaction out of frustration and anger.
Seen laughing right after he tapped it in.
I don't think it was he putted it, realized it was going to roll off the green. And as the ball's moving, he thinks in his head, oh, the smart strategic play here is to run after the ball, tap it back to the hole, and take a two-stroke penalty. I'm not buying that. I think it would have been better received if he just simply would have said, look, this golf course was unplayable today. You had DeChambeau come out and say it's clown golf. You had Zach Johnson, who's a respected guy, say they lost the golf course 10 years ago. Like, everybody was outraged about the condition, and I think if you went with the... I was just pissed and I was tired and I didn't want to go at it anymore.
Yeah.
I think that maybe the response isn't as big, but when you use it as like a strategic point of, well, I knew what I was doing. I just wanted to take the two-stroke penalty and I thought that's, I'm not buying that. I think he just reacted out of frustration.
We've known each other a while. You know that I like to golf. I golfed this weekend. I just enjoy being out there. I think it's a great relaxing thing to do for 4 hours. I thought this weekend was a horrible weekend for the sport of golf. I really do. I walk away and I come into work Monday and I'm thinking about all this stuff. We're talking about Phil Mickelson. We're talking about Zach Johnson's comments. We're talking about how the course played. You know what we're not talking about? One of the more boring athletes in pro sports in Brooks Koepka, who, by the way, we will get to, not in this segment, Joe, so don't worry. We won't get to Brooks Koepka yet. I thought this weekend, golf person... This is when you need to recognize why so many people are not playing the sport anymore, and you need to lighten up a little bit. What Phil did was not right. It wasn't. If we did that on the course, you would eventually get made fun of, but in the moment, it'd be no different than when you go and hit a second shot right after you shank it. You run up to it, and you go hit it as hard as you can because you're pissed. Nobody would talk to you the rest of that hole. They'd be like, well, that dude blew up a little bit.
That guy's a little angry.
Right, and I've had moments like that. Sure. I think everybody's had a moment of frustration on the course. But he's aware that it's a two-stroke penalty. He made a decision that was dumb, but he gets penalized for it. So this whole notion of kids are going to go do this.
No kids are going to start doing
this. Kids aren't golfing, Brindle Chamblee.
No kids are going to do
this. Newsflash for you, bud. And I just thought the whole narrative and storylines from the U.S. Open, golf had a bad weekend. This was not a good look for the sport of golf. And I wish people would really pick up on that and understand it. We can talk about how great the course is because it's challenging. I like that. But that's not what the golfers wanted to talk about. They wanted to bitch and moan about how hard it is. Oh, it's so tough. I only earned $600,000 this weekend because the course was so tough. Way to relate to people. And then you get Phil Mickelson being the storyline. You throw in Zach Johnson. I thought this was a really bad weekend of golf. I know you probably disagree to a certain extent. That's fine. What do you think? What did you think of what Phil did? 55305 is the fan text line. We'll talk about that and get to Brooks Koepka next. But first, Joe with a sports update.
Scott tissue that I wish you saw. Saw Captain Mr. Know-It.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
12:35, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan. We were talking about the Phil Mickelson, the putt after the putt.
Call it
the moving putt.
That's the name of it, the putt.
How many people, what? What'd you say, Joe?
Oh, well, Chamblee was saying that kids are going to start calling it the Mickelson.
Oh, yeah, the Mickelson.
On the court, you know, like Jordan Mickelson.
A listener did bring up a good point at the fan text line. This is how out of touch Brandel Chamblee is. The kids are going to start doing it. We all already do this, Brandel.
Well, it's like.
Have you not golfed with average Joes? We all do this. We get pissed. I think I had two of these yesterday where I rolled a putt pass and it was, you know, you get pissed and you grab it.
Well, what kids, A, are playing golf willingly? It seems like all parents that have kids that play golf make their kids play golf at a young age. Maybe a few outliers. But what kid is sitting there watching the U.S. Open? Like, what age of kid is actually sitting at home watching the U.S. Open?
They're yelling Kobe, throwing things in a trash can. They're not trying to do the Mickelson.
You guys are just like, dumping all over golf right now. I don't know if I can appreciate that.
I love me some golf. I just thought it was... I think you walk away.
Oh, dear Lord.
And I just think it's a bad weekend for golf. I really do. I know it's the topic of conversation, so you could buy into the bat. Any publicity is good publicity, and sure. But what do we know? We know the obvious, that golf memberships, golf participation, it's down. It's just that's a universal conversation that's been going on now for 4 or 5 years. It's dropped. And people texting in, hey, this is good. I'm going to go play golf. You are in the minority here. It's just a reality of the sports landscape. I like golf. I appreciate the hell out of the majors. I enjoyed watching people struggle at the U.S. Open. But I just thought the complaining, I thought the Phil Mickelson reaction, look, it's not a good move, but he got penalized for it. He already took what was coming to him. It was the most predictable headline for every writer to get on their high horse and write, Phil Mickelson should quit the U.S. Open.
It was only a matter of time. You knew they were coming Saturday night. Ian O'Connor, that's the immediate headline. He should disqualify himself if he respects the game of golf.
I also think it's a representation of the winner himself. And, you know, it's not necessarily fair because he's a hell of a golfer, but he's boring. Brooks Koepka is boring, and he is not a part of the conversation. Was it a fair condition for the golfers? What did you think of Phil Mickelson? That's what you walk away from with the U.S. Open.
Well, that's just who Brooks Koepka is. He's a phenomenal golfer. He won the U.S. Open last year, so he's got back-to-back. That puts him in pretty elite company to win multiple U.S. Opens before the age of 30. That's a pretty short list of guys that have done it. So I don't like to, as a fan of sport, I don't like to not give somebody the credit or the attention just because they're boring. Tim Duncan was boring, but he's one of, if not the best power forward in the history of the game, and we all appreciated what he brought. It didn't matter if his post-game interviews were entertaining or not. You could still sit there and appreciate what he was doing. So I hope Brooks Koepka gets
it. The lowest-rated NBA Finals of all time.
Sure, but if you're a fan of sport, can you not acknowledge and appreciate how good Tim Duncan is?
Right, no doubt.
I'm not saying Brooks Koepka is going to bring in the fringe fan who doesn't usually watch golf. He's not Tiger Woods. Not many guys, I don't even know if DJ does
at
this point.
No.
So where I will draw the line separately from you is I agree 100% with the golfers complaining. There are not many things that bother me more about the game of golf than when you see these headlines the entire week. And in fact, I thought it was a really bad moment for the USGA to hear all the complaints Saturday because they put the pin placements in tough spots, the wind blew, they didn't expect it to blow, and the course was unplayable for basically everybody on Saturday. They heard so many complaints, especially from respectable guys like Zach Johnson, that they over-adjusted, they watered the course down, and it became easy. I think he had a guy close to like a 62.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleetwood came out of nowhere. He started like, 77 under. And so they overcorrected it too much, and they caved down to the pressure. And I didn't like that because you can't control the elements of the golf course the same in the morning the way you can in the afternoon. And I thought it kind of screwed the guys atop the leaderboard who were playing later in the day because you had a Tommy Fleetwood who almost came out of nowhere and won because he had an earlier tee time. So I didn't like the way they handled that. And I don't like when golfers complain. You're all dealing with the same elements. We have had multiple U.S. Opens they were talking about it on the broadcast, guys in the 70s, won at 7 over par. There's a U.S. Open, a guy won at 5 over par. Just 10 years ago, or 13 years ago, you had back-to-back U.S. Opens with guys at like 4 over and 5 over winning in back-to-back tournaments. We've seen this before.
This is an unusual thing.
This is the U.S. Open. It's usually not this tough. Yes, the course was unplayable on Saturday, but you know what else some of these guys did? They hit bad shots. Dustin Johnson putted terribly on Saturday and Sunday. He wasn't one of the guys that I heard vocally complaining about it, but... But that's where I draw the line, though, is because I did get upset with all the guys complaining, but I did think it was a really compelling U.S. Open. You didn't have a lot of big names make the cut, which always sucks. Tiger and Spieth and Fowler, or not Fowler, he made it, but McIlroy, some of those guys didn't hang around for the weekend, and that's always unfortunate. But as somebody who loves golf and who loves watching these guys struggle on really tough courses, seeing them try and navigate it, especially on the weekend, was enjoyable for me. And I thought you had some drama with Dustin Johnson, the number one player in the world, taking a four-shot lead into the weekend. We all thought it was over when we were on the air Friday, kind of thinking DJ's going to run away with this thing. He collapsed the first six holes on Saturday.
Yes, he did.
So it kind of roped you back in. Brooks Koepka, if you follow golf, you know how good he is. He won the U.S. Open last year. You had a couple of guys that were in the mix on the back nine. So I thought it was a compelling tournament. But I'm with you on the reaction from the commentators is ridiculous. And the reaction from the golfers, everybody's facing the same conditions. Buckle up and go play some golf.
I can't speak on course setup where hole placement is and should they have watered the greens more going in. Okay, fine. The one thing I did kind of find laughable was people kept bringing up wind. How does the USGA account for wind? Like, how? Well, it was really windy all weekend. Okay, what would they have done different? Blocked the wind?
Right.
Like, there's only so much that is in your control when you're setting up a course.
Because of that, there was one, I think it was the 13th hole, that the closest somebody got, like landing a ball on the green all day, no matter where they were coming from, the closest somebody got was like 40 feet away from the pin.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, I remember Chambers, because I went to Chambers, and then you saw the reaction from Chambers. It wasn't as loud. But like Chambers, it was a thing too. Everybody reacting like, I can't believe how bad this course. It's dried out.
Same thing, yeah.
Like, can we just go to the U.S. Open next year and all know that the course is probably going to kick your ass? Just go into it with that mentality. And if you play better than everybody else on a really tough course, so be it. If you play poorly, just go home on your private jet and get ready for the next tournament. That is all I am asking. Here's Brooks Koepka, who doesn't really have a lot to say ever, but he wins back-to-back U.S. Opens. First time that's happened since Curtis Strange did it in 88, 89. A really cool moment for him, seeing hugging his dad, giving his girlfriend a kiss. Here is him in his post-round and his thoughts and his feelings on winning back-to-back U.S. Opens.
I mean, it hasn't sunk in yet, to be honest with you. I think it's much more gratifying the second time. I can really appreciate how hard it is to win a major and to, you know, win back to back is special. And, you know, my second major is cool. You know, hopefully there will be, you know, a few more.
Brooks Koepka may get you and may interest you, but we have to admit something. He's got real Tim Duncan like qualities to him. Does he not?
Yeah. He's Kawhi Leonard.
He could win multiple, or he's already won multiple. He could win more majors than two. And I think we all have to agree, yeah, listening to a post-round nod is something I'm going to necessarily want to watch.
He became, like, just to put it in perspective real quick, sorry, Joe, he is the fourth golfer since World War II to win two U.S. Opens before turning 30. The only other are Tiger, Ernie Els, and Jack Nicklaus.
Was that one of my nugs you just used there?
Was that one of the nugs? I saw that
Joe
on
Joe Nug.
Was that a Joe Nug?
I don't know if it was or not.
You probably saw it from the
same
place.
Yes, it was. How about that? Yeah. So, Brooks, yeah, kind of a peculiar fella. Like, how did it feel to get the green jacket if he ever wins the Masters? Oh, that's cool. It feels nice, you know.
When he's like, I was so excited. I'm so excited.
Good material.
Okay, Tim.
We haven't had very thrilling personalities win the majors so far this year. We can acknowledge that. Patty Reed and Brooks Koepka aren't...
at least with Patty Reed, you kind of had
into the TV.
Like a lovable villain.
You have the love-hate relationship with Patty Reed, for sure.
He'll go represent USA and be the trash talker on the Ryder Cup team, and then you also kind of don't like him when it's non-Ryder Cup season. He just kind of has that feel about him. So at least with him, he may not be the most... he might not be the best speaker out there or the most personality, but he's got kind of that aura of lovable villain. You want him, but you also don't like him. It's like Draymond as an Olympic basketball player.
Yeah.
Go win gold and talk ass to all the countries, but during the season, I hate you.
You shut your mouth when you're playing my team.
Exactly. So the U.S. Open, Brooks Koepka wins it. How shocked were you that he won it, by the way, real quick?
Not that. He won it last year.
But going into Friday, if I would have said Brooks Koepka is going to get it again, would you have been like,
I can't remember where he was at going into the weekend, but I don't think he was that far off. So if you would have told me he was going to win on Friday, I would have said, first, what happened to DJ? And that, to me, is a big... DJ collapsed.
That's another major he's collapsed.
DJ was terrible this weekend.
He should have, like, five majors.
He's been so... the way he started on Saturday, the first six, seven holes, and then the putting just... I can't even... remember to count how many putts he left short on Saturday.
Real quickly, his four-shot 36-hole lead matched the largest in U.S. Open history by a player who failed to win.
No, there you go.
So after the Thursday-Friday round, yeah, matched the worst.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, player who
failed somebody says Dustin Johnson talks just like him. It's not just the way he talks, though. Like, DJ, you get the Paulina package with DJ.
DJ is not a good interviewer, a good personality. He just has a backstory that people know because he did some coke and he slept with people's wives and he's married to a Gretzky. I mean,
right. There's a lot of elements to that.
Right.
And we don't know that much about Brooks Koepka other than Joe Buck screwed up his girlfriend situation last year.
That's right.
You remember that?
I forgot about that.
Yeah. So Brooks Koepka wins the U.S. Open. Hey, let's go to the World Cup. I know. Golf and soccer to start the show.
We did have somebody text in that segment and say, what does any of this have to do with the World Cup?
I thought there was a really cool storyline over the weekend. Dirt didn't like it. And it also caused one of the best fan reactions we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. That's next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
NFL Whip Around coming up in hour number two. We'll get to Cam Newton, Kawhi Leonard update. Really cool thing happened over the weekend. Mexico beat Germany in the World Cup. Did you happen to catch any of that?
No.
It's okay, if you're honest.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they beat Germany 1-0. Yes, I'm using soccer terms now.
In the match, it was a good match, huh?
It was a good match. And they come out on top against Germany, stunning everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so celebrated in Mexico that they said when the fans were celebrating the goal, I think it was in the 30th or so minute.
Okay, decently early in the game.
Yeah, when they were celebrating, it caused an earthquake.
Wow.
They went Seattle Seahawks 12 celebrating the Beast Quake. Remember when Marshawn Lynch ran off that run on New Orleans?
Yeah, hold my.
Yeah, they were celebrating so hard at the clink that they caused a little bit of a tremor. Well, Mexico and their fans, they did the same thing celebrating the goal.
Dude, that's pretty kick-ass. I did not watch much of this game. I told people Friday I was going to be more glued into the U.S. Open this weekend.
Match.
No, sorry. Match.
Okay.
I will.
Just helping you out here.
Now that the U.S. Open is done with, I will start trying to delve a little more into the World Cup as we continue to advance a little bit.
England's up 2-1 on Tunisia.
I think, yeah, there you go. So England's going to beat Tunisia in some hot Tunisia action. This was cool, though, that they caused an earthquake. It shows you how much some of these countries really care about it. I do have a problem, though, with being asked to root for Mexico. That's the only thing that I don't quite understand. I think that's kind of one of the unique parts about this World Cup is with no Team USA, we can all choose who we want to root for. It's like growing up in a city without growing up in Portland, there's no NFL team here. You can choose. You're free. Pick whoever you want. We're not forced to root for the hometown team like the Blazers who can't win anything for 40 years. So we're kind of free to do it. And the Mexico one is just confusing to me because they're supposed to be a rival. And
why do you keep saying that?
Because they are.
Do we know that for sure?
That is a fact of soccer.
Can
that
soccer Mexico, guy help me out? Is Mexico our rival?
Did you not see the hot water that Landon Donovan got in over this?
Yeah, he was wearing a Mexico shirt.
He tweeted out
Germany.
This whole like Wells Fargo root for Mexico thing.
What's wrong with that? USA's not in the World Cup.
The responses to that tweet told me all I needed to know from soccer guy that this was not acceptable.
Is Twitter soccer guy different than real soccer guy, though? Because Twitter, is like far more sensitive than reality, isn't it? You say you hate Mexico. I get it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool thing.
Somebody texted in, Landon Donovan took it on the chin. Huge. Mexico is a huge rival. Huge rival.
All right.
What other sport would we do this? Like the Giants don't make the MLB postseason. I'm supposed to root for the Dodgers now?
Is that the equivalent?
What world are we living in?
My problem with saying
that's Yankee fans rooting for Red Sox fans?
Okay, fair enough. But my problem with using that analogy is you play the Dodgers almost 20 times a season.
I think we play Mexico all the time. I feel like they're always doing friendlies with Mexico. Like
friendlies
every other
don't
month.
Count for anything,
we're doing
though.
Friendlies all the day. It's a friendly thing, you know?
I don't know about this.
Playing friendly games.
Mike is in the studio. Mike is kind of soccer guy, and Joe's talking his ear off. Joe, could you shut up? And Mike, could you come to the microphone real quick and settle something for us?
Come to the microphone, Mike. He's a newer soccer guy.
Mike is?
Yeah, I think he's somewhat newer.
Was always soccer bro.
I think he's not lifelong soccer bro.
No, I'm soccer bro since the 2014 World Cup.
See, there you go.
That sucked me in hardcore.
Oh, that's what she said. Okay, so Is Mexico a huge rival for USA?
No.
Thank you.
Because they're better than
Point
the U.S.
Point, Brandon.
Well, no. That's better doesn't matter.
That's true.
Well, that does not like matter.
I said that. I just defended you.
It's like the Lakers-Blazers thing, right? Blazer fans think the Lakers are the biggest rival of all time.
But the Lakers don't
Laker
think
fans
the
don't care. Mm. I think there is a rivalry because they're
are
close.
Are we the Lakers here, by the way? Or is
no.
Mexico? No, Mexico would
no,
be the
Mexico's
Lakers.
No, Mexico's better.
Okay. All right.
So that, again, it's just a thought. Maybe more hardcore soccer fan listening to your show knows better than I, but in my 4 years of soccer fandom.
All right, I thought you were deeper soccer bro than 4 years.
See, I don't think the dominance of one team or another affects the rivalry. It can affect the intrigue in the rivalry.
Sure,
but
we've
it
been through this twice.
Right.
Oregon, Washington, Oregon, Oregon State.
Sure, but it doesn't affect the hatred of the fan base for said other team.
Right, but I see also what he's saying though. You flip it. Where the Lakers are our rival, the Lakers probably
so
don't
this,
view us as their rival.
Sure, then in this USA and Mexico example, yes, Mexico is our rival, but we are not Mexico's rival, if that's the analogy that you want to use, because we're not as good as Mexico, so we would be the Blazers in that example.
See, somebody tweeted basically all of CONCACAF is our rival.
Yeah, that's a CONCACAF thing. We play. This is a whole geographical rivalry
so
thing we got going on.
So who else is in the CONCACAF? Is that Canada?
No.
See, you're acting up. You're up on this microphone like you know, and then I press you a little
Look,
bit.
Look, this
don't
is a
know.
Fact of soccer that USA and Mexico are rivals. That's all that I'm saying, and I find it weird that we're being told to root for a rival in the World Cup.
I think we're just.
You don't think them upsetting Germany was a cool thing?
I'm not saying it wasn't cool.
I don't know.
You might have already you might have already hit on this, but it's like rooting for your conference to do good in the bowl games.
Sure.
Oh, there you
That's
go.
That's a pretty good analogy, Joe. I'll give
so,
you that.
So, Washington-Auburn football game this year. You're not going to root for Washington, but you would acknowledge it's good for the conference for them to win.
Is it good for the CONCACAF? Mexico?
I don't know.
I don't know how that
you,
works.
You haven't really explained how this all breaks down, but that's okay.
Okay, let's see the teams.
Mexico beats Germany 1-0. They pull off an upset, and Mexico celebrates so much that they cause an earthquake. I thought that was cool. You don't see that a lot in sports.
It looks like it's basically North America, Central America, and South American soccer.
Cool.
So it's all
so the American continents.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
It's all of us over here.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's some World Cup conversation for you. We hate
Sorry,
Mexico, but we
people.
Like Mexico, but we're not sure how much we're not
I
supposed
thought
to
it was
like
really cool that they caused an earthquake.
So did I.
Like, that's pretty, like, there's not many fan bases that can claim that. That's pretty kick-ass.
Did Landon Donovan apologize, or is he sticking to
he
it?
He had to release a statement. Hold on, let me pull it up.
You don't have to release a statement, by the way.
Oh, he did.
Most people forget after a
you
week.
You got to release a statement for everything these days.
I guess.
If anybody thinks you did something wrong.
So he sent. There was the whole ad thing, and he sent out this big tweet. So he had to send out a note, like long
okay.
picture.
Sum it
he
up
said,
for me.
Follow up on my tweet yesterday, I want to better explain my participation in the Wells Fargo World Cup campaign. To begin, went in bold. My heart bleeds red, white, and blue. No one should ever question my allegiance and support to USA. That being said,
oh, we thought he has allegiance to Mexico?
Apparently, man. He's jumped over the border. Having grown up in East Los Angeles, playing with Mexican teammates whose passion for football inspired me at a very young age, as well as with some team down there, I always have had a strong connection and respect for our neighbor. Since the U.S. sadly is not participating, I am supportive of our CONCACAF rivals. Would like to, so he even says it, rivals would like to see them do well. If others disagree, that is their prerogative.
So he basically didn't back down. Good for him.
Yeah, he's rooting for Mexico.
All right, we got to load the second hour. Puma breaking into the basketball scene yet again. Cam Newton lets a little kid get to him. We got an update on Kawhi Leonard, but let's start hour two with our NFL whip around. Dirt and Sprague back with more on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.